If you have your Bible here with you this evening, will you take it out, please, and go over into the book of Genesis? Please go into your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6. And in just a moment or two, we're going to read some verses out of Genesis, the 6th chapter. As you turn there and get ready to study God's Word, let me just say how very honored and privileged my family and I feel to be able to be here with you this evening. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with this great church. I thank so much of you. I thank so much of the work you're doing here in this community. And I'm happy that I got to bring my family here with me for the first time, my wife and my two children. They've been excited about getting to meet the good folks here. And we are just so thankful that you've allowed us to be here with you once again. Hope you had a great holiday. Hope you're looking forward to a great 2018. God is good to us. And we are so blessed to be His people. I would like to begin study by reading some verses from Genesis chapter 6, if you don't mind. Genesis chapter 6, let's start reading with verse number 5. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Word of God says this. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had and on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I've created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds to the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them." Verse 8, But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I think we can all agree this evening that what we just read here is one of the most well-known stories in all the Bible. It is a story that is well-known throughout the world. It is a story that we try to teach our kids from the time they're very young. It is the story of Noah. Brothers and sisters, from the time our children are very small, this is one of the first stories we want them to know. From the time our kids are very small and they can understand things, this is one of the first stories we want them to know. This is one of the first stories we want them to understand. We want them to understand that several thousand years ago, as God observed the world, he saw that the wickedness of man was great. It was pervasive. It was literally all over the place. Sin was all over the world during this time, and that caused God to feel a certain way. The Bible says that actually caused God to feel some regret. He regretted that he had made man on the earth, and in his righteous indignation, he decided to do something. He decided to blot them out. He decided to exterminate mankind, but there was one man named Noah, who found favor in his eyes. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says. And so God told him to build something. God told him to build an ark. God told him to essentially build this huge vessel, this boat, and through this process, God was going to save him and his family. Through this process, God was going to ensure that he and his family would survive this global flood that he was going to use to wipe out the world and bring judgment on sinful men. That is essentially the story of Noah. That is essentially this story that we start teaching our kids from the time they are very small. And that is certainly a great story. Wouldn't you agree, brothers and sisters? Oh, yes, that's a great story. And in fact, I want to suggest to you that from this story, I think we learn several valuable lessons that can help us as Christians today. For example, one of the lessons I think we learn from this story about Noah is, number one, I think we learn a lesson about preparation, don't we? Oh, yeah, we learn a lesson about preparation. Remember Noah, if you recall the story, Noah didn't know exactly when this flood was going to come. He didn't know exactly when God was going to send this worldwide flood that would wipe out the world. But when it did show up, he was ready, wasn't he? He was prepared. He was prepared for the coming of that flood. And in the same way, we as Christians today, we got to make sure we're always prepared. We got to make sure we're always ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that when he comes back. He's going to come back like a thief in the night. He's going to come back at a time when a lot of people are going to be unprepared. And so from Noah's story, we learn a lesson about preparation. But not only do we learn a lesson about preparation, secondly, I think we also learn a lesson about sin, don't we? We learn that God hates sin. We learn that God is hurt by sin. We learn that God's justice always demands that a punishment be paid for sin or a penalty be paid for sin. Noah's story, we see how God feels about wickedness. We learn a lesson about sin, but not only do we learn a lesson about sin, thirdly, we also learn a lesson about baptism, don't we? You see, just as Noah and his family were preserved through the waters of the flood, Peter says, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21, that baptism in water now saves us. Peter says that water is also involved in our salvation, just like it was involved in the salvation of Noah and his family. And so there's a lesson about baptism here. But above all these things I just mentioned, above all these wonderful lessons, I want to suggest to you that Noah's great story also teaches us a lot of lessons about faith. Lessons about faith. Will you go in your Bibles now, please, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, if you don't mind. I would like for these verses to actually serve as the basis for what we're going to study tonight in God's Word. Here, for those of you who are great Bible students, I know you are aware of the fact that this is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible when it comes to talking about faith. And listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse number 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, and without faith, notice that, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, or it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, or of those who diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, there he is again. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Brothers and sisters, there are a couple of very important things I want you to notice from these verses. First, I want you to notice how in verse number 6, the Hebrew writer makes it very clear that if we don't have faith, we really don't have anything. The Hebrew writer says that if we don't have faith, it is impossible for us to please God. It is impossible for us to glorify God at a high level. The Hebrew writer says if we're going to please God, then we got to have faith. We got to have faith, but notice how he says, secondly, that we just can't have any kind of faith. I want you to notice how, according to verse number 7, the Hebrew writer says that, yes, we got to have faith, but there's a certain kind of faith we got to have. In verse number 7, he says that if we want to have the kind of faith that pleases God, then we got to have a faith like Noah. He says that Noah is a specific person who a long time ago had the kind of faith that pleased God. He says Noah's faith pleased God. It pleased the Lord. And I got to tell you, that's very interesting to me. That's interesting to me because, sisters, I don't believe that faith is one of the top three or four things that pops into our minds when we think about Noah today. I got to tell you, unfortunately, so often when we think about Noah today as Christians, so often the first thing that pops into our mind is the story of that flood. We think about that flood. Or maybe we think first about the ark, that huge vessel that he built to preserve both he and his family. Or maybe we think about how sin was just all over the place during his time. Or maybe we even think about all those animals who got onto the ark and how God was able to find room for all of those animals. Or maybe we even think about that song we just sang. We think about that rainbow that God put in the sky afterwards to be a reminder that he would never again destroy all flesh with a flood. You know, so often when we think about Noah, those are the kinds of things that pop up into our mind first, but I want you to notice again how that is not what the Hebrew writer emphasizes in this text. I want you to notice how above anything else, in these verses, the Hebrew writer emphasizes Noah's faith. He says that Noah had a faith that pleased the Lord. He says that Noah was a hero of faith. He had an enormous faith. He had a great amount of faith. But the question is, what made his faith that way? The question is, what made Noah's faith so great? In other words, what specific qualities did Noah's faith possess that enabled him to please the Lord at a very high level? Well, if you don't mind, I want to submit to you this evening that in this verse we just read, in Hebrews 11 and verse number 7, we see exactly what made Noah's faith so great. And here's the first thing right here. First, one of the things that made Noah's faith so great, according to what we just read, is Noah had a great faith because, number one, his faith led him to believing in some things that he had not yet seen. He had a great faith because he was willing to believe in some things that he had not yet seen. And someone says, well, where's that in the text? Well, let me show you. Listen to what the Bible says. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 again. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, notice, not yet seen, and prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Let's just stop right there if you don't mind. I want you to notice how, according to this text, the Hebrew writer makes it very clear that Noah was a man of great faith because he was willing to believe in some things that he had not yet seen. He was willing to believe in some things that came from God that he had never seen with his own eyes. And someone said, what in the world had Noah not yet seen? Well, that's a great question. And the answer is found in Genesis chapter 6 again. Go back to Genesis chapter 6 if you don't mind. Look at verse 17. We go back to Genesis chapter 6 and we look at verse number 17 and listen to what God said to Noah here. In Genesis 6 and verse 17, God said to Noah, behold, I, and bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life from under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. I want you to think about what God is saying to Noah here. Do you see that? Brothers and sisters, I hope we can all agree that this kind of information that Noah is receiving from God here, it's some information that would have been hard for any person to take in. I mean, think about it. How would you feel if you heard this kind of information from God? How would you feel if you had God, if you heard God tell you the kind of stuff that he told Noah on this occasion? I mean, think about what God is saying to Noah here. Here God is telling Noah some incredible stuff. He is telling Noah that he's going to send a flood on the earth. And this flood was going to be worldwide. It was going to cover everything, and everything was going to be destroyed. All the people he saw every day, they were going to be destroyed. All the plant life, all the land beasts, all the little creepy crawlers, the insects, all that stuff was going to die. All that stuff was going to be wiped out by a flood. That's what God told Noah. He told him everything was going to be destroyed. And please understand that Noah had to have a great level of faith, an extraordinary amount of faith, to believe that God was going to do that. I say that because we got to understand that Noah had never seen any of these things before in his life. We got to understand that up to this point, Noah had never seen a global flood. He had never even seen rain up to this point. He had never seen God open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out his wrath on all people. He had never seen the whole world literally covered with water. Noah had never seen any of these incredible things God is saying here, and yet even though he had never seen those things with his own eyes, he still believed they were going to happen. He still believed that God was going to do exactly what he promised to do. Brothers and sisters, if Noah didn't believe that God was going to do this, then why in the world is he going to spend about the next 100 years of his life building a flood? Building an ark for the flood, rather. Why is he going to build an ark? I mean, the fact that Noah's going to spend the next 100 years of his life preparing for a flood by building this huge vessel, that shows you right there he believed the Lord. That shows you right there that he had faith that God was going to do some things that he had promised to do, even though he had never seen that before in his life. Noah believed in the unseen. And I want to suggest to you that we have to be like him. Like Noah, we got to have a high level of faith. Like Noah, we got to be willing to believe in what God has promised to do, even though we've never seen that before in our lives. And someone says, well, what has God promised to do for us? Well, verse in the New Testament with you. Go on your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because listen to what God has promised us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to look at verse number 9. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 9, Peter says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Listen to what Peter says God's going to do in the future. Listen to the incredible things that Peter says is going to happen one day. I want to add to that what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go into your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be called together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever seen these things that Peter and Paul are talking about in these verses? You ever seen these things before? You ever seen the world destroyed by fire before? You ever seen the Lord descend from heaven with his mighty angels? You ever seen the dead come out of the grave and the saved meet the Lord in the air? You ever seen that before? You ever seen the heavens pass away with the roar and the elements burn with intense heat? Have you ever seen those kinds of things before? You know you hadn't seen that kind of stuff before. And I haven't seen it before either. But if we really want to have the kind of faith that pleases God, then we got to believe that stuff's going to happen. We got to believe that these events will one day take place. We have to believe that because God said so. Because God promises this in his holy word. I'm reminded what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Paul says, as Christians, we walk by faith and not by what? Not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, like Noah, if we're really going to please the Lord, then we got to be willing to believe in some things, not because we've seen it with our own eyes, but because God said so. Because God promises so in his word, because God never makes a promise that he can't keep. Noah had a faith that pleased God. And one of the reasons why his faith was so great is because he was willing to believe in things that he had not yet seen. But not only did he believe in things he had not yet seen, secondly, I want to show you now how his faith was great because he had a kind of faith that led him to obeying God with reverence. Obeying God with reverence. Let me show you what the verse says again in verse 7. By faith, Noah, warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, notice that. In reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. You know, it is easy to read this part of the text without giving it much thought. It is easy to read this part of the text and kind of just blitz over it and just say, oh, okay, Noah had to build an ark. He had to build this huge boat. But what's the big deal? What's really the big deal about that? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. That was a huge deal. In fact, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that you had to build this ark. I want you to imagine that you had to build this vessel that Noah had to build. I mean, can you imagine having to do that? Can you imagine having to spend about 100 years of your life during this time building a boat that was 500 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 3 stories high? I want you to imagine having to do that without having absolutely no boat making experience. I want you to imagine having to do that, and you didn't have any of the modern tools we have today at your disposal. You didn't have an electric saw. You didn't have a drill. You didn't have a blueprint or a previous model to look at. You didn't have electricity. You didn't have expertise. You didn't have some YouTube channel to go to so you could watch somebody give you a visual demonstration. You didn't have that stuff. Imagine building this ark and you didn't have those kinds of things. Imagine having this high level of difficulty when it comes to making this vessel. I ask you to think about that, because that's exactly what Noah was facing. He had an extremely high level of difficulty when it came to this, and yet even though it was going to be extremely hard to obey what God was telling him to do, what did he do? He still did it. He still did exactly what God said. In fact, I like a verse found in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 22, the Bible says in this 6:22, thus Noah did according to what? According to all, A-L-L, according to all that God had commanded him. So he did. I want you to notice how the Bible makes it very clear how Noah, he didn't just believe and trust in the promises of God, but he also obeyed God. He also submitted fully to the will of God. He also demonstrated his belief and trust in the promises of God by doing exactly what God commanded. And notice he did it with reverence and respect. That's the kind of faith that Noah had in his life. The question is, do we have that kind of faith? Do I have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith? Do we have the kind of faith this evening that will lead us to obeying the Lord no matter how difficult that commandment might be? I ask you that question because it is here where so many religious people go wrong. You and I both know that for so many religious people today, they do their best. They try to do their best to separate faith and obedience. They do their best today to separate, to try to separate biblical faith from actions, from obeying the Lord. For so many people, they say faith and obedience, they're two different things, but I want to emphasize that's not what you find in your Bible. I want to emphasize you just do a casual reading of the Bible and you will easily see the kind of faith that pleases God not only is a faith that will lead you to believing in God, but it's also a faith that will lead you to obeying God. Biblical faith is belief accompanied with obedience, accompanied with action. And I want to show you that from the Bible. I'm going to James chapter 2. Look at some verses in James. In James chapter 2 and verse 17. James says, when it comes to faith, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead. It is dead being by itself. James says if you don't have obedience or works or action with your faith, it's a dead faith. That's a dead faith. Look at verse 26. Verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works or obedience or action, that's dead also. James says faith that pleases God is a faith that is accompanied with action, is belief accompanied with obedience. In fact, not only do we see that here in James, but think about Hebrews 11 again. Think about that hall of faith that we read about so often. You know, one of the things that ties all those people together in Hebrews 11 is not only did they believe God, but they also obeyed God. They believed and they obeyed. And let me show you what I'm talking about. I'm reminded of what we find in the case of Abel. When you look at Hebrews 11 and verse number 4, the Bible says that by faith, Abel, one of the sons of Adam and Eve, he offered, notice he did something, he offered to God a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. And the case of Enoch in verse number 5, it says by faith Enoch was pleased to God. When you look at the case of Noah again, in the case of Noah in verse 7, it says in reverence he did something. He co-heir an ark. In the case of Abraham, it says by faith Abraham obeyed God by going out from his country to a land that he had never gone before, going to the land of and he obeyed God. In the case of Jacob, it says that Jacob, he had faith in God that led him to blessing each of his 12 sons. In the case of Joseph, it says by faith, Joseph gave orders concerning his bones. He told the children of Israel, one day you're going to leave Egypt, and when you leave here, take my bones. In the case of Moses' parents, it says by faith Moses was hidden for 3 months by his parents. And in the case of Moses himself, it says by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you see the connection with all of these examples, brothers and sisters? Do you see how in each one of these cases, these people are commended by God, not just because they believed in God, not just because they had trust in the promises of God, but also because their belief was accompanied with action. They believed and they obeyed. They believed and they did something. They believed and they got up and did what God said. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. Belief accompanied with obedience. The question is, do we have that kind of faith? Do we have the kind of faith and trust in the Lord that will lead us to always doing what God has said? I want to suggest to you that if we don't have a faith like that, then we don't have a faith like Noah. I want to emphasize again that Noah's faith went far beyond belief only. It went far beyond just mental assent. Instead, it included obedience to God. Noah believed and trusted in the promises of God, and that led him to obeying what God said. He had a great faith. And he had a great faith because he believed in things he had not seen. And he, in reverence, got up and he obeyed God. He built that ark. But a third reason why Noah's faith was so great was, thirdly, his faith was great because it was motivated by love. Was motivated by love. Someone says, where's that in the text? Well, let me show you. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11. And again, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. What a powerful set of words the Hebrew writer puts in the middle part of this verse. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, from these words, we see that while Noah was building this ark, he wasn't just thinking about himself, was he? He wasn't just thinking about the salvation of himself. Instead, he was thinking about other people. Specifically, he was thinking about his family. He was thinking about his wife and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he was also thinking about their three wives. He was thinking about his family while he built this ark. He wanted them to be saved and not just himself. He was thinking about the salvation of his household. In fact, not only was he thinking about the salvation of his household, but I want us to understand that he also was thinking about the salvation of the world. I say that because in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. In other words, as Noah prepared that ark, while he was making that ark, he was also preaching. He was also proclaiming the will of God. He was also trying to warn people to repent and turn away from sin and get right with God because God's judgment was coming. He preached to the world. And unfortunately, only seven people changed their lives after hearing his preaching. He preached to the world and only saved seven people. But guess who those seven people were? Those were seven people who were members of his family. He didn't try to save the world and lose his own family. He loved people. The question is, do we have the same kind of faith? I want to tell you something about me. Two of the greatest joys of my life are found in this room tonight. Two of the greatest joys of my life is being a husband to Janicia Jeffries and a father to Sean Michael Jeffries and Faith Mariah Jeffries. I love them with all my heart. I'll do anything for them. I want them to be saved. I want them to know God. I want them to go to heaven just as bad as I want to go to heaven. I want my family to be saved. But let me tell you something. If I really want that, if I really want my family to be saved, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make the most of the time I have with them right now. As I try to grow spiritually and grow closer to the Lord every single day, I'm not going to forget about them. I'm not going to forget about the responsibility I have to teach them the Word of God and encourage them and help them go to heaven. I'm going to understand I have a responsibility to help my family be saved. Noah understood that. But not only do I have to help my family go to heaven, I got to help you go to heaven. I got to help the world. As many people as I know go to heaven. I say that because in Matthew 28 and verse number 19, Jesus tells us, go into all the world and make disciples of the nations. Jesus wants to understand as a Christian, I got a responsibility to help people in this world. I got a responsibility to share his message to as many lost people as I can. I got to love not just my family, but I got to love everybody. I got to love all people. And so let me ask you a question for the parents in this room tonight. And there are a lot of parents. As you look at your beautiful children this evening, let me ask you something. If the Lord came back today and the world ended, would your children be in heaven with you? Would your children be in heaven with you if the world ended tonight? And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying you can force your children to do right, okay? None of our children are programmed robots. They're free moral agents. I'm not saying you can force your children to do right. I'm not saying you can force your kids to love Jesus and do what the Bible says. That's not what I mean when I ask that question. The question is, have you done all in your power to help them know the Lord? Have you done all in your power to teach them the Bible and to teach them the will of God? Do you show them in your own life the kind of faith that pleases God? Do you show them that every day by the way you live? Like Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice did for him, do you help your children develop a sincere faith, develop a genuine faith? Do you do that for your children? I want to suggest to you that from Noah, we learned that if we're really going to have the kind of faith that pleases God, we have to do that kind of stuff. From Noah's example, we see that if we're going to have a faith that pleases God, then we got to be willing to believe in some things we have not yet seen. And we got to be willing to obey God in reverence. And we got to make sure that we're motivated by love, that we're trying to share our faith with as many people as we can. But not only do we have to make sure we help other people. A fourth thing I want you to understand about Noah's faith is, fourthly, I want you to understand that Noah's faith was great because it was the kind of faith that convicted the world. It convicted the world. And let me show you the verse again. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God, he's not yet seen, reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world. The Bible says that Noah's faith was the kind of faith that condemned the world. What in the world does that mean? I mean, how did Noah's faith condemn the world? Well, as we think about that, can I ask you to imagine something? Remember I said earlier that Noah spent about 100 years of his life building that ark, give or take. And so I want you to imagine this. Imagine that each day as Noah's out there and he's hammering away, and he's building that ark, and one day some people pass by him and say, hey, Noah, I see you still working on that ark. I guess you still think that flood's going to come, huh? Or imagine them saying, hey, Noah, 50 years have gone by now. 60 years have gone by now. And that flood that God told you about, that so-called flood you said was going to come, it hadn't come yet. I guess God lied to you. Or hey, Noah, we heard you were building this big old boat, but we just had to come see for ourselves. We thought people were joking, but you're really doing this. And so I guess you really believe that you're the only righteous man in the world. I guess you really believe that the rest of us, we're just terrible sinners. We're just lost people. We're not as good as you. I'm asking you to think about that because based on what the Hebrew writer is saying in this verse, I'm willing to safely suggest that during that time when Noah is building that ark, probably hundreds and hundreds of people said that kind of stuff to him. Throughout that century, probably hundreds and hundreds of people came to him and they mocked him, they made fun of him, they discouraged him, and the reason they did that is because his actions, righteous actions, were convicting them of their sins. His righteous actions, his desire to serve the Lord, that was convicting them and forcing them to think about how they were currently living lives of sin. That's why they were saying that kind of stuff. And let me tell you something. That's exactly what God wants our faith to do to the world today. Did you know that? God wants our faith to convict the world. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." Notice how Jesus says that one of the things we got to do as Christians is we got to shine every single day. Every single day we got to shine our Christian in this dark and sinful world. Every day when people interact with us, when they interact with us on our jobs, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, maybe even in our families, they should see something different. They should see something unique. They should see people who have good morals and good character, and they're really trying to live by the Bible. When people look at us, they should see faithful Christians. That's what God wants them to see. Let me tell you something. When people in the world look at us and they see that, when they look at us and see that we don't drink, we don't shack up, we don't curse, we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't laugh at filthy jokes, we don't bully and make fun of other people, when people see that we don't do that kind of stuff, that's going to convict them. That's going to cause them to really think about how they're living their own lives. That's going to cause them to think about some sin that they may be harboring in their lives. And if it forces them to think about that stuff, that's a good thing. In fact, that may be the first step they need to take to get their own lives right with God. I just want you to see that Noah's faith was noticeable. It stood out. He stood out in a dark and sinful world. And if ours is not sticking out, we got a serious problem. If we're not shining our lights and looking different than the people around us every single day, then that means we're clearly looking too much like the world. That means that instead of being different than the world, we have become of the world. We're not answering the call that the Lord has given us. Noah's faith was a great faith. He truly was a hero of faith, and it's because his faith led him to believe in things he had not yet seen. And he, in reverence, obeyed God, and he was motivated by love, and he had the kind of faith that convicted the world. And if you want to know the final outcome to him having this kind of faith, well, it's found in the final part of the verse. And so, as we try to get the rest of the meat, the last of the meat off, back to Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 7. Look at what it says. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became" what? "An heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Notice how the final outcome to Noah having the kind of faith that pleased the Lord was he was saved. He became an heir of righteousness. That is, he was saved from experiencing the wrath of God that was going to be put upon the world through this flood. Noah's obedience led him to being spared by God. That's where his faith ultimately led him. And please don't misunderstand. Don't you think for a second that Noah earned or deserved that privilege. I mean, yes, Noah obeyed God. Yes, Noah would not have been saved had he not done what God told him to do. No doubt that is true, brothers and sisters. But let us also understand that ultimately Noah was saved not because he was so good, not because he was so righteous, not because he deserved to be saved because he built that ark. No, Noah was saved ultimately because he accepted God's grace through faith. You see, without God's grace, Noah would have been lost just like everybody else. And I say that because in Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I don't care who you are. If you are at an age of accountability, that verse applies to you. Unless you're the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to understand you sinned against God. You have violated the will of God. Every person has done that of an accountable age, and that would also include Noah. Even though Noah was a righteous man, he still needed the grace of God. Even though Noah was a righteous man, he still needed God to offer him something that he did not deserve, and that was salvation, and it was by his faith that he accepted God's grace. Noah did that by faith. And let me tell you something, just like Noah was saved from the flood by God's grace through faith, the Bible says we're saved. We're saved today in the same way. I want to show you one more passage and then we're going to be done. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, Paul, "For by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast." I want you to think about what Paul is saying here. Here, Paul, the point he's making is today God offers sinful people like me and you something we do not deserve. And that is salvation. That is an opportunity to live with him in his house, an opportunity to go to heaven, to be with him forever. God offers that to me, and he offers that to you, but it's up to us to believe in him and trust in him and accept his grace through obedient faith. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying we got to come to God on his terms, not our terms. And so if you're sitting there in that pew tonight and you know you're not right with God, you know that if the Lord came back today like a thief in the night, you would not be prepared to enter into heaven. If that describes you tonight, I want you to know you have a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate a faith like Noah. Tonight you have an opportunity to believe in things that you've not yet seen and demonstrate that belief by obeying the Lord's commandments. And that means you got to believe in Jesus and you got to repent of your sins and you got to confess the name of Jesus and be baptized in the waters of baptism. And someone says, "Why do I have to be baptized? Why do I got somebody dunk me in some water to be right with God?" My friend, you got to do that because God said so. Because God said so. Do what God told you to do, and you will be saved just like Noah. And so if there's someone here tonight and you need to respond to the invitation in any way at all, if we can help you, let us do that right now as we stand and we sing together.